morning to everybody. I will hand over to Mr. Untersberger.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning to our friends in Canada and the U.S., and good afternoon and good evening to our friends in Asia. Welcome. Sorry that we are a little bit late, but we have almost 40 colleagues on the conference. And I start also in the name, Fritz is also with me, Fritz Weininger. And I start with the page three, with the executive summary. As again last year, at least on that, the issue didn't change. The financial year 2013 is not a question of volume, but again a question of price. And as we have grown by another 10% to 890,000 tons, unfortunately, this quite impressive growth after another 11% in 2012 is not reflected in sales, and of course, unfortunately, also not in EBITDA and EBIT. However, and I want to stress that because I have heard that already today from other sources, that some market colleagues have been and investment colleagues have been surprised that we delivered the guidance. Even it was a revised guidance, but we delivered exactly on sales, we delivered on EBITDA, we delivered on EBIT. From the strategic point of view, I think the sale of the 85% of Lenzing Plastics, actually it was 100%, but we did a deal on the other side that we bought into again with 15%, was one of the strategic issues. We received a cash of 62 million, and we made a gross profit of almost 26 million. If we go on, you will see that we have seen a price decrease of another 13% year on year, from 196 to 170. That means we have lost almost just from the fiber business a turnover of 220-230 million. This is not only a loss on the turnover, this is also, I would say, to a great part a reduction in the EBITDA and in the EBIT. Particularly in the fourth quarter, the price reduction was very sensitive, and that, as you remember, was also the reason why we did this ad hoc in October and in November. We are fully in a restructuring mode. After we told you the first, I would say the first half year in August, that we are working on a cost saving with Excellence 1.0 of about 11 million per quarter. We immediately took action in August, November, instigated with Boston Consulting and an internal team, Excellence 2.0, where we are now working on an annualized basis of 120 million. That means up from 40 to 120. So we are tripling on an annualized basis our cost savings. I come to that point later. Just so much so far, it is working very, 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 very good, and we are quite successful on that. And I would say also for our very loyal shareholders, we are putting a proposal from the board for the dividend payment of 1.75 to the supervisory board, which was the meeting yesterday, and which was also agreed and accepted. And I think the supervisory board will put it to the annual general meeting of shareholders on the 28th of April for their approval. Let's move on to page four, the highlights on Q4. Well, record sales for 230,000 tons on an average price of 161. You immediately see that the pricing environment in April was in fourth quarter was really very, very, very tough, which is just reflecting that what I said before when we did the ad hoc, because we saw that for the fourth quarter we will have a steep fall in prices. By the way, even you may say, well, EBITDA as expected, what was the expectation? The expectation was that we are positive on the EBITDA, and also by the end of the day, we have been positive. Haben wir EBITDA? Nicht. It's just a small positive number, but it was positive. On the EBIT, of course, with all the already announced one-off effects, restructuring charges, and on the Sozialplan, and other devaluations we took on our Indian joint venture and on our Chinese joint venture, almost to the tune of whatever you put in, 45 million-50 million. The EBIT per se was negative, but this is not a surprise. That was already mentioned in October and in November. I'm handing over to Fritz. Fritz is giving you a full insight into cotton markets and viscose markets.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Fritz Wenninger speaking. I would like to give you some inroad to the fibers market in 2013. On page five, there are some positive news and some negative news. Let's start a bit on the negative side is the fiber growth still positive is 1.6% on a year base to 2012, leading up to 85 million tons. What positively can be mentioned there is that the MMC segment was growing by far the most of all the other fibers in gaining market share. Closely 10%, the MMC sector was growing. Also positive, you see what we always said, is that the cotton production goes down year by year, another 4%, more or less like last year, and this year continuing. This is that the cotton gets lower. On the synthetic fiber side, a growth rate also below 4%. Again, the MMC segment by far was outrating in terms of growth of all the other fiber segments. This is nice to grow a lot. The volumes are okay. Also on the MMC segment, the stocks are very low, but the issue is there the dynamics itself and the low prices. Let me move on now to cotton, which is the benchmark on page six. There you can see that the world stocks still are continuing to grow, and the reason is despite the production goes down, still the consumption is weak. On the other side, the experts on cotton now see really a growth rate for the next harvesting season of about 2%-3%, because it took a time to really, let's say, re-energize the cotton use, especially in the U.S., especially in Europe or in other countries or regions, because it's still they all have mentally the shock behind what has happened in 2010, 2011, the high volatility of cotton. Nevertheless, still the production, despite it's coming down strongly, is oversupply still because of low consumption increase. What is the situation now in China? Because China is, of course, let's say, orienting the whole cotton situation. In China, there is a stock-to-use ratio. We all know that. This is the indicator how the situation in cotton is way too high with 147%. Normally a minimum, really the minimum is about 50%. On the rest of the world, and this is the situation why the cotton prices are still very high, it is $0.95 at the moment. They are at 53%, so coming down to the minimum level. You need a minimum level of about 50% because it's a half year's crop, so to say, and if you want to have the right quality allocation disposition, you need this amount of stocks in use. How is China, and this is at the end of the day, it's a Damocles sword, how is China really reacting to that? As you know, the Chinese had an incentive system to build a strategic reserve after the, let's say, high volatility of cotton and the suffering of the whole Chinese cotton and textile industry. And they are incentivizing the farmers. But this will change on the biggest cotton producing part in China, with about 40% in the Xinjiang province, so northwest in China. They will continue. But on the rest of China, like Shandong and other provinces, they will ease it out. So out of that, the Chinese are expecting a further reduction of the cotton production in China of about 9%. China is all about what cotton is concerned. Yeah, on the page 7, I don't like to read it for you, but there are all the opinions about the experts. They all see cotton production go down. They all see, in a way, of course, that the consumption has to pick up and will pick up, but currently is not the case. If we move then to page 8, and this is our dynamics in our viscose segment. As I said before, a high growth rate, even in our within the MMC, there is a special segment in, the biggest one, which is the staple fiber, where we are in. This part was growing 13%. So the volumes are good. The stock levels are low. 21 days of production is low. But the price is the issue. And if you saw just the beginning of the year, we had about 14,000 RMB in China. And it was moving up after the end of Chinese New Year. Still, it was good after Chinese New Year. But now it came down again. And what we see right now, if we compare the, say, price premiums, we have a negative price premium currently to cotton of about 25%. So this is not in line what we have said and what was the past, so to say that there's a positive price premium. But this is the dynamic of the industry in viscose. There's another big issue, and I strongly state, because it's not the high overcapacities. If we have an overcapacity there, we have also a very tight credit control in China. And the Chinese is not just that the fiber producers are squeezed by the bank, so to say. It's also the textile industry. We hear that from our customers as well. And this, of course, puts pressure on the producers, because if there is no liquidity, there is no working capital, there is always somebody who sells on spot and is doing it cheaper. So this is the reason why the situation is not really, really improving. And we don't want to give you a very bullish forecast or whatever, not at all. We say volumes are okay, but still on the price front, we don't see any release so far. So that's the reason why there is no other way out of that for us. We have to concentrate strongly, and Peter will elaborate a bit more afterwards, on our savings program, because this is what we have to achieve mostly, and we have to concentrate a lot on the specialties. Maybe some word on the Chinese anti-dumping on the dissolving pulp. As you know, this was launched, started last year in February. Then there was the provisional duty on November, which, say, to the American producers mostly involved there. And now we have, I mean, the latest date would be August this year, but the recent, let's say, information will show that it will be maybe already now in April, the final announcement of is there an anti-dumping on pulp imported for the viscose production or not, and when, to which companies, respectively to which countries, and on which level. So we do not know what the outcome is. But of course, that also has an impact because right now the dissolving pulp is stabilizing at about $880 a ton for imports in China. On the page number 9, you see we had a very good quarter in Q4 with 230,000 tons, absolute record. Very good volumes in the specialties with price premiums in specialties of 50 to 60%, dental respective and modal. But even despite this good specialty share and the prices, you see that we had another price drop from Q3 to Q4 of around 4%. So again, volumes, Lansing is managing this 10% increase. We are selling the specialties we are selling. We're just fighting on the price front. On page 10, you see the fiber segment. In this case, it's also including the pulp and energy and some other byproducts. But what you can see is the textile fibers we had on turnover, a negative growth of minus 9% roughly. Despite we had an 8% increase in the volume, but the price reduction was much bigger. On non-wovens, there we had a growth of 6.5%, and a volume growth out of that of 13%. And you see, this is a very important segment, non-wovens. Because in non-wovens, if you compare the viscose prices, the viscose prices are in non-wovens about 20% higher than in textiles. In non-wovens, we are concentrating because this is a more stable segment, and we are having now market shares of 50 to 70%. So we are very good established in this segment. Yeah, in a nutshell, I mean, we are focusing on still further volume growth, no question about this, that. You know that we are starting up by mid of the year the dental line. We are focusing on the specialities. We are focusing on non-womens, which is less dependent on the cotton situation. And, of course, big concentration and focus on our savings program. Well, this is from... shortly from the market side and how Lansing is performing. Maybe Peter, you continue with the financials.
Okay, I'm continuing to page 11 on the financials of 2013, and I am concentrating on the figures here on the right side for 2013. So financial debt, we saw an increase of almost 160 million. That's quite a lot on the base that we only had close to 350 in 2012 and now 505. But please be aware, this is not, at least from our point of view, not a problematic figure. Of course, we had to pay taxes, interest, stakeholder payments, dividend. We had 250 million cash capex and also a small change in working capital. If we all added up, deducting the cash inflow from the plastic sales, that's more than 330 million. Of course, if we compare that with the 225 from the EBITDA, after 2012, where we also had more cash out than cash in, also 2013, we had more cash out than cash in. I'm pronouncing that because for 2014 we are doing our level best to maximize cash generation, which I think for the time being is the most important what we can do. On the other side, we realized that it doesn't make sense to keep a cash hoard of almost a real cash hoard of almost 530 million. So that was reduced because of huge investments down to 300. but we also kept our undrawn lines to the tune of almost 300, so we have a liquidity cushion of 590, which I think at the end of the day, also for 2014, we try to stay at this level between 550 and 590. I think from the balance sheet of from the balance sheet point of view, 45.5 respectively 1.1 billion equity and equity ratio is quite good, quite solid. I'm moving on to the to the year 2014. Well, it goes without saying, in such difficult times, we focus all our marketing and sales activities, and particularly business development initiatives on specialities. We have started additional initiatives because coming from the organization, where you know that we, since 1st of January, we have changed over from a business unit organization into a functional organization and giving the functions more global responsibility, but also on the other side more accountability. That is helping. We're taking out 3-4 layers of hierarchy. We are getting fast in decision making. We are getting closer to customers with the business development on the barrel side and more to business development on technical fibers and nonwovens. We are ready to help our customers more closely, particularly in Asia. But on the other side, the difficult market environment is going to stay. I cannot give you a green light, or I cannot say that the light in the tunnel we are seeing is the exit of the tunnel. For the time being, we see a very, very volatile environment. Fritz explained to you the cotton situation, and even if the cotton, the subsidy regime in China is going to change a little bit, but it may not have tremendous effects on the bottom line, or maybe also not on the on the cotton price. On the other side, there was just in Bremen this week a big cotton conference, and most of the guys have been short on cotton. And if you look what is going on cotton for the first 3 months, if everybody is short on cotton, quite often the contrary is going to happen. Cotton prices are going up. I'm not going now again into the details of that. It's a lot of different drivers and factors, and Fritz mentioned that already. We are consequently following our specialty strategy, which you are aware of, Modal. Specialty, low capacity increases or almost no capacity increases by Lansing last year, and this year we have been very, very successful and very profitable on Modal. On Tencel, you know that we are scaling up Tencel, reflected by the ramp-up of our Tencel line now by mid of the year. That means mid of the year we should be in a position to be selling saleable quality. All the markets and merchandising and marketing department are preparing for that. That means more diversified customer base, more developments on Tencel applications, on. And I think even if on the background of a very, very difficult general cellulose market, that works. And on the viscose, you know, it's also clear we are in the midst of a commodity storm where Chinese are taking very, very irrational decisions. The only thing where we can influence the market is that we are improving our cost competitiveness by taking out almost 6% of our cost base, which is quite significant, and I'm just coming now to that. So we are, our countermeasures are very clear. Reorganization from a business unit organization to a functional organization. The second countermeasure is even more market initiatives on our specialties, particularly
on the ramp-up of Tencel. And the third countermeasure is a quite intensified and strong cost savings program. You see that on page 13. Of course, we have not been unsuccessful in 2013 with 40 million, but due to the storm, we see and the strong reductions in prices. And by the way, 13% reduction at 26 cents, 225 million. Of course, you cannot expect that in 2014 and even not in 2015 we are in a position to compensate that, but we are doing our level best at least to stay competitive. And I have to say, if everybody in China is sniffing on the water level, moving up and moving up, also we are sniffing. We are sitting, of course, to a certain extent in the same boat, but we are taking out now very, very fast and very successfully a lot of cost. You see that in the meantime we have added to the 60 plus, indicating that the savings program is working very, very, very good. We are far ahead in timing and we are far ahead of the 60. The split up is still more or less the same, one third on operational excellence, Fritz's driving personnel cuts, one third, where we are also ahead of schedule, and the others are SG&A, other costs, where we are also making very, very good inroads. You see on 2015, the upper part of that bar is showing, let's say, a 10 million different color, which should indicate that maybe by 2015 we are not yet on the 120 annualized savings. We are doing our level best to keep that as small as possible, but definitely for 2016 we are on the 120 million level, which should reflect mostly structural savings. Of course, we have to include one-offs, one-time savings. We are really very adamant to suppliers, to service providers, and of course it's much I would say also not easy but rational to suppliers and banks and wherever we buy materials and staples and services, if we show up with our 2013 P&L and not with our 2012 P&L. I'm coming to the outlook for the full year. As I mentioned already before, and Fritz was elaborating on the pulp environment also for 2014. We are faced with a very, very tough pricing environment. Of course, it goes without saying, and we know that you are following the CCF price. You see that 10 days ago or 5 days ago, we just undercut the 12,000. And I am not excluding that it may go down even further, but the speedier it goes down now, the faster we get to a consolidation. I don't know whether you know, on last weekend, Fulida, China's biggest viscose producer, sold out 30% of its holdings to a chemical supplier. We know from two other producers in China that they are up to the upper limit with debt, because we have been approached to whether we would buy them. And of course, we are not going to buy. But be also be aware that these capacities are not going out of the market. The maximum which is going to happen is that they may shut down maybe for 3 or 6 months. But that's quite helpful. Yeah, even 1 month shutdown or exit is helpful. And if the Chinese Beijing and the People's Bank of China is now starting to regulate the shadow financial institutions, then this is exactly reflecting that what I mentioned, because if the municipalities and the the wealth funds of big cities are not going to continue lending to such loss-making companies, then this is driving the Chinese viscous restructuring. On the other side, we also mentioned that capacities coming on stream in 2014 and 15 are less and less and less, and a market which is growing with 10% in China would need 400,000 tons almost, or 350,000 tons of additional capacities, and we do not see that for the next 2 years. Lenzing is approaching 1 million tons of fibers, driven primarily now on the 67,000 tons capacity on Tencel. Goes without saying, and we mentioned that in October, that we are taking out risk on the top line by not pushing for expansion, and on the bottom line by and on the top line by not growing that fast as before, and on the bottom line or cost basis by taking out 5-6% of our cost base. We expect a quick ramp up of our Tencel line. I mentioned all the preparations. You see the equation cash out should approximately be reflected by that what we cash in. That's damn difficult because on the other side our excellence team members approach us with very, very good ideas which could have a payoff of or a payback in 1 or 2 years, but it takes the complex ideas capex. So we have to decide whether we are going ahead with such ideas. We expect capex in general of about 120 to 130 million. Excellence, I mentioned, 60 plus. I think we give you a much, much more detailed update with our first quarter, but that's going to continue quite successfully. And on the net debt EBITDA, the target, the structural target is 2.5. Don't hit me if we are a little bit above that. It goes without saying. It depends both on the net debt level. Could be 520, 530, and of course also on the EBITDA. That in a nutshell, the market development in fibers and in cotton, and please keep in mind that we continue in a quite attractive, fast-growing industry of 10% on the background that cotton is not growing or only slowly growing, and fibers in general only grow with 3%, and also on the background that we are steering ahead with a lot of countermeasures to improve our cost base, because that's the only thing where we can really make food marks and increase our cost competitiveness. Thanks a lot, and I hope now there are a lot of questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Please, one question per person so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. One moment for the first question, please.
First question, please.
And our first question today is from Mr. Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Stephanie. Jens, one question from my side on the restructuring. You said you're ahead of the 60 million run rate currently, but you're falling back next year. So what's the dynamic? And I was kicked out of the call earlier. I hope it wasn't on purpose. But when is the point where you will step up the restructuring? I mean, prices are falling. Are there any thresholds in terms of average prices where you would start to look at additional measures again? Is it 155, or is that point when a minimum net profit of, let's say, 50 million is at risk, because that's what you need, I guess, to pay the fixed dividend? And related to that, in terms of restructuring, why would you ever evaluate stepping out of the Chinese viscose market, sell maybe a couple of the capacities, and focus on stronger markets with stronger demand patterns like Turkey or so on?
Yeah, well, that we kicked you out was, of course, intentionally. But I was talking about the successful program of excellence. No. Well, the situation and the market environment is very tense and is very serious. And based on that, we are already we have added already or taken the screwdriver and have asked the team to look into more savings. And I think when I mentioned in May announcing first quarter, we can tell you an even much better story than today. But even today, we are very well ahead. We are very well underway on personnel cuttings, on SG&A cost savings, and of course in materials savings. We have no thresholds in that sense, where we would say that we are doing other savings. On the other side, I think it goes without saying, if the market is, I'm just talking now theoretically, would go down to $1.50, we cannot cut the bone, and we are not going to cut into the bone. Of course, we are now on wave two ideas, and as I mentioned, there are wave three ideas, which involves CapEx, but if it is not going to pay off within 12 to 18 months, we are not even doing that CapEx. Stepping out of the Chinese viscose market. Well, that's a question which we consider all over the time. Even I would say almost everybody, I say intentionally almost everybody, because we do not know everybody. But I would say almost everybody is losing money, and if some of the guys are saying they are not losing money, then these are the guys who are just transferring pulp at cost to their sites, because otherwise at that level of price, it's impossible that you can make money. I admit that we also are losing money, but that shouldn't be a surprise to you, because otherwise we would not have re-guided you in November. But it does not mean that we make a loss on other sites. We are profitable, highly profitable on Modal. We are very profitable on Tencel, but also in that sense, prices are moving in line with that of viscose, no doubt. Otherwise, the premiums would go up to 60-70%, and there would be price points. Customers would say, no, I'm not going to buy, even if it's a great fiber, I'm not going to buy such fiber. So we are not going to step out of China. Of course, what we are doing is making customer value analysis, and that means that, of course, of the 100 customers we have in China, and we're doing also exports in China, we have very different setup of prices depending which kind of fibers they take. Of course, we are talking to the low profitable or loss-making customers, at least where we make a loss with them, and say, okay, either you pay 5 cents more or we are gone. We are not here to transfer money on a longer basis than we can endure.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
And our next question is from Mr. Peter Mackey of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm actually going to be cheeky and ask a couple of questions as well. Sorry about that. But The first is to continue on the savings front, and I apologize, maybe this is a clarification that that others have already picked up, but I was under the impression, wrongly perhaps, that Excellence 2.0 was on top of Excellence 1.0, so 120 million was on top of the 40 million original savings, whereas your slides today suggest that it's we're talking about an incremental 80 million. I wonder if you could just clarify that, please. And then I really just want, you're obviously throwing out very cautionary tones about 2014. You're talking, you know, talking pretty cautiously about pricing in China. It looks to me as if pricing is going to be down a few percent in Q1 versus Q4. You typically give some guidance about the next quarter, and of course we are most of the way through Q1 now. I wonder if you can, as far as I can see, you did about 23 million of clean EBITDA, clean EBITDA in Q4. What sort of number, how do you feel about Q1 in the context of all of those various variables, please? Thanks.
Hi, Peter. Thanks that you're participating. Well, on the savings, obviously there's some misunderstanding. It's not 40 plus 120. It is the 40 are part of the 120. But of course, now coming back, the 40 have been done in 2013. Of course, I would say the biggest part of that has been transferred over into 2014 and will be transferred over into 2015. I think the most important issue is that we have structural savings, and that the 120 or in this year the 60 plus are not just one-offs. That is, I think that on that we are working. Of course, we are including one-offs. If we have a material supplier or raw material supplier which is giving some incentive and rebate for 2014. And situation may not change in 2015. We are seeing him next month or in July again. Clear. Well, my cautious tones on China. Yeah, I think all of you are following the CCF price, and if you see that we are at 12,000 and we have been at 12,300 end of the year, it's another 5 cents down. First quarter shouldn't be a surprise to none of you, but we are not going to make a loss. We are making reasonable EBITDA. Of course, we would like to make a much much higher one. I'm not giving you a guidance for first quarter, but we are pushing Modal, we are making market initiatives, and. For instance, we even managed to, I would say, just adjust prices, for instance, a little bit in Turkey. That doesn't mean that this is a price increase, this is a price adjustment. That is it. When prices are further down now in March, we have to accept it, but take it on the background what I said before, that the water tide and the water level in China is going up and up and up and up, and with all that what I was talking about shadow financing, we are coming to a situation, I think, where not only in the viscose industry but also in other industries, such lenders are forced to go out of the market or to reduce lending or whatever, and that will have a dramatic impact on not only on the viscose industry.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question is from Mr. Bernd Maurer of RCB. Please go ahead. Mr. Maurer?
Hello, good afternoon. Now you should hear me. My question refers to the final quarter for the extraordinary expenses you booked. Could you more elaborate on the restructuring charges you booked in 4Q13, which costs in which line to have more clarity on this? Thank you.
Yeah, hello. Well, we already announced when we did the ad hoc that we are going to make an adjustment, an impairment adjustment in China to the tune of 20 million, that we are going to make an impairment adjustment to our joint venture company in India to the tune of about 3.5 million, that we have made a final adjustment to our participation in EPG, in the precursor company, of 3 million, which is now down to more or less 1 euro. That have been the major impairments, of course. And I come back to that, what I mentioned in our last call, that if we miss the guidance, then we don't want to miss it just by 5 million, then we prepare ourselves for 2014. And I think in that sense, without excluding that not the one or the other million could not happen in 2014. We did most of that in 2013, including which we do not show in the explicitly in the before restructuring and after restructuring page, including the provision for the social plan, which was also included in the provisions already.
How much was the provision for personal expenses?
I have to elaborate a little bit on that, and don't write it in your review.
I promise.
Because we're telling the unions, of course, the gross provision, which includes already the so far made provisions for the last couple of years, because for everybody who is going to leave the company, we have to make yearly provisions, and that we have now put into this Sozialplan provision. So it goes without saying that almost half of that we had already in the books and another half we booked now. So the other half is about 20 million.
Thank you.
And our next question is from Mr. Bernhard Hass of Wiener Privatbank. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just a question on the raw material side. I think in the annual report, you stated that the raw material cost should increase until 2014. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, as well with the cost-saving initiatives that you have? Thank you.
Well, we made 10% more volume. That reflects just on a pari passu, just on a like-for-like basis. That we have 10% higher material costs. As you remember, wood costs have gone up. Other chemicals costs have gone up. Caustic costs have gone up. There was a quite strong volatility all over. That was nothing special. With excellence, just repeating myself, we are going to each and any supplier, service provider, whether that's Telekom Austria or a small or a big law company we are doing services with, and ask them to renegotiate hourly costs, even if our PR manager is sitting here opposite to me. We're also asking him to reduce his cost. So we're not letting down anybody.
And our next question is from Mr. Fabio Lopez of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the questions. Quick question on dissolving pulp and also one in viscose real quick. What do you see the level of demand for viscose overall this year? And where do you see utilization rates? And the question is both for viscose and dissolving pulp. And linking to that, as Fritz said, I've heard that April there is a ruling on the on the tax of dissolving pulp imports, and it seems that people are even announcing more capacity increase. I've seen this company called Fujian Qingshan announcing a greenfield project of 300,000 tons in February. That's about 4% of global capacity. That, at least from the distance, looks like an irrational behavior. And I would like to ask you, how do you see the industry developing in dissolving pulp throughout the year? Thank you.
First of all, Fabio, utilization rate of viscose, I mean, it went up. As you know, the year 2012, we had about 68% of utilization rate, and now it came up to, according to Chinese statistics, I must say, to 81% global utilization rate. So the capacities installed are used more and more efficiently. Obviously, there is an upturn. It's also what the Chinese 5 years plan is mentioning quite clearly. They have to utilize more the plants. In terms of take-off of the viscose pulp, I mean, yeah, it went up to 5.6 million tons now, yeah, the viscose or MMC fibers. So, of course, plus 3-4% is then meaning the pulp consumption. On the capacity of the pulp production utilization, we are also at about the level of 75-80%. This is quite obviously not so much in use, because there is always on and offs in the pulp capacity, because if you look at the Chinese pulp producers, they have cost position of about 950 to 1,000 tons, $1,000 a ton of pulp. This was the main reason why they installed this anti-dumping. And they're shutting on and off or switching their pulp mill from dissolving pulp to paper also, some of the capacity. You are talking specifically on Fujian. Fujian is a Sukanto, a Setari. And this is a fibers project. They are now having a capacity installed there of 200,000 tons in Fujian, so close to the sea. And this is only the fiber. Yes, there was talking of about integrating also a pulp mill, but according to our information, this is not that he want to invest now another $600 million at least dollars for the pulp on this location. He is ramping up now the viscose fiber and shipping the pulp from Brazil, and there is no anti-dump or a little anti-dumping duty maybe if it comes from Brazil. So he's in a way he's somehow integrated there. But this company Setari is making life a bit difficult right now, because they want to ramp up as fast as possible up to 200,000 tons their capacity and making the low prices. But yes, it was an integrated announcement that this is a fiber plus pulp integration, but according our information, this will be not in the coming, let's say, next 2 years at least.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question is from Mr. Franz Hörl of Erste Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. You were just talking about Sateri. They also intend to go into the non-wovens area in the future, which is quite obvious because prices are, as you previously said, much, much better there. How do you see the risk that prices might come under pressure quite soon there?
I mean, yes, of course, everybody intends to copy Lenzing and to move the same strategic direction, specialities, non-woven segment. But point is, I mean, and a lot tried it already. A point is non-wovens, for instance, a very sensible application. It's a hygienic application, and you are specified there. And if Procter & Gamble, if Johnson & Johnson, they are specifying you. That means no contamination, that means guarantees and. So it's their intention, no question, but it's not easy to really tackle that segment. Yeah. And we have competitors, it's only out of China, and they have big problems, is Dangshan. This is the only competitor which we see a little bit on the market. There's more or less no one from India on that market. So the non-woven segment is quite a sensible segment in terms of technical performance.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the prices are concerned, you already said they are down very significantly below 12,000. If I view it correctly, this should mean a couple of cents lower again in the first quarter. Could you give any guidance there?
No, I cannot give a guidance because it on the one side, worse comes on worse, it could just next week be another 300 renminbi, and personally I'm not excluding that, even if I don't expect that or it's not probable, but it could happen.
Yeah, the first quarter is almost over now, so
as we have seen the last 10 days, it was coming down almost on a daily basis, don't take me in 1.5 months that I was wrong or right, but normally these are signs that we are coming to an end of a trend. Mm-hmm. But I do not know whether this is not going on in second quarter, because I never would have thought that Chinese can make such irrational decisions, but they do it. And okay, if somebody wants to send with each truck $10,000 to the customers, he has to do it. It's his money, not our money. We are at least reducing this amount of $10,000 per truck to much less. But we stick to that. We have very loyal customers, surprisingly or not surprisingly, in China. We are doing a lot of cross-selling. China is our biggest modal market. China is our biggest dental market. So we have to see it in a gross calculation. That at the end of the day, we still make good money in China if we add up everything we sell there. Mm. And a lot, as Fritz just mentioned, a lot of others don't have this possibility of cross-selling because they have neither dental nor they have modal, or they just sit around and can sell at very low prices viscos.
Mm-hmm. While you delivered on the reported results, you were below what I expected in terms of adjusted results. The one-offs were lower, and despite that, the reported was very much in line. Were there any other effects which you did not adjust for and mentioned previously, which burdened your results, like inventory write-downs or FX? Or
cannot expect that we are publishing any and all smaller provisions.
Okay, then nothing large, nothing really meaningful.
Large, because as per the auditor rules, you know that any material and substantial provisions has to be published anyway.
Okay. Then I have a question on in your presentation on slide 18. You give an overview of the cost structure, and we see that the other material costs position, it's up by more than 40 million from the third quarter of 2013 to the fourth. What is the reason for that?
You're talking about slide 18.
18, exactly, yeah. It's hugely up.
We're talking about fourth quarter, yeah?
Exactly.
This is maybe in German a Umgruppierung, a change from one line to the other line, because at the end of the day it did not change. Our overall energy cost has been 11%. Our all other
chemical costs have been 12%. Our personal costs have been consistently 17 to 18%.
Yeah, yeah, but from which line could that be? I mean, all your material costs are clearly up, although sales were more or less stable. And this position is up 40 million.
Yeah, we have one line or one business, which is our trading material, and I think the trading material is part of that, which of course is volatile from quarter to quarter, which we buy in from K-Line Fibers, and we had a very good quarter, and strong fourth quarter on that. So I will look back again and send you a detailed answer.
Yeah, this would be great. Thanks.
Our next question is from Mr. Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. One question from my side on the cash flow. You said that in 2013 all restructuring costs are already included in the P&L. Are they also already reflected completely in the cash flow statement? And if so, could you maybe outline the amount of cash restructuring costs? That would be very interesting to reconcile that. And then related to that, as you seem and you will focus on optimizing your cash flow, that your cash in balances your cash out as good as possible. And in light of the currently lower fiber prices, I mean, what you say is the consistent dividend policy implying a stable dividend, or would that imply a dividend that reflects this cash out equals cash in thesis? Thank you.
Well, I start with the easiest question. This is the dividend policy. As you know, Mr. Trubrich, that we cannot give any promise on dividend. I am also not giving a promise on dividend here. But of course, I stick to that, what we always say, that we will try our level best to pay a dividend also for the year 2014. Consistent, in my personal view, does not mean that we would pay every year 1.75 or $2 as just we did last year on the background of the 75th anniversary of Lenzing. I come to the first question you were asking. I think hopefully I have the same. I understood your question rightly, that you ask what have been cash provisions in part of the cash flow. Any of these provisions on personnel, on India, on China, and on EPG have been, of course, non-cash provisions and therefore not reducing the cash in. On the equation of cash out is cash in, I did not say that we will exactly match that. I say that we are doing our level best. Coming back to that, what I mentioned, that we have very, very interesting ideas on Wave 3 excellence, where you need 200,000 here, 300,000 there, and even having more complex projects where you need also 1 million or 2 million. Fritz and myself, we always say to the guys, okay, it must pay off in maximum 18 months. And if it isn't, we don't do it. But it could be you easily get 5, 6, 7 million out of such projects. And then maybe the cash out is a little bit higher than the cash in.
Okay. No. It's clear that the provisions and impairments are non-cash. It's just if there were any cash restructuring costs or if that all was non-cash.
No, so far in 2013, we didn't have any cash restructuring cost. If you just take, for instance, BCG, of course, these guys are very expensive. We have them on the reorganization, and of course, we just this week they finished on the excellence, because now we're taking over ourselves.
with a team of 10 people. So yeah, that's that has been a without saying now the figure, but this has been a quite limited amount, which partly was cash effective in 2013 and now in first quarter.
Okay, thanks. And just for again for 2014 on the moving parts in the cash flow statement, we know the capex now. You mentioned something on the dividend. Could you also elaborate maybe a little bit on the other part? Interest would most likely stay around the same level, around 20 million. What's your view on working capital? What can you achieve there? And also in part of the Excellence 2.0, where you said you're going to focus on the working capital, what can we expect here? Thanks.
Well, we are just in March, but with working capital and prices down, we having installed a task force, which is just on a monthly basis looking on all kind of operations, top line operations on working capital, to reduce working capital. Of course, we are a good corporate citizen. We are going to pay all our interest and we are going to pay all our tax, no doubt about that. On the dividend, I'm not saying that we are paying 1.7 or €2. If we can afford in weighing all kind of interests for creditors, banks, shareholders, long-term shareholders, and short-term shareholders, we will pay a dividend. Cash flow, capex, you were asking. Yes, you know. As I said, between 120 and 130, and if necessary, don't hit me. If it may even be 135, if we have very, very interesting projects, because the payoff then comes in 2015.
All right, thank you very much.
On our last question today is a question from Mr. Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, Megan, a couple of clarifications, please. Firstly, on the dividend, in the Capital Markets Day presentation, the policy was expressed as a minimum policy. So what you said today is a change in that guidance, more or less.
Matthias, you should know as an excellent analyst that the Austrian Aktiengesetz does not allow to give any promise. So if you took it as a promise, I'm sorry, that was simply wrong, and I'm sure Thomas at that time, the CFO, did not say it this way.
It's
definitely put on the caveat if we can afford it.
Yep, I was always opposing the fixed dividend anyways, but on page 54
okay.
It says minimum dividend policy. Yeah. So okay. Obviously, I appreciate it if it's more flexible going forward.
Okay. Obviously, no other questions. Many thanks for your participation. Many thanks for your very, very interesting questions. I hope that we, Fritz and myself, we could answer all your questions without any other misunderstandings. If you have other questions over the weekend, please come back next week. We are ready to talk on that. Thanks a lot and have a nice weekend, and we see each other on the investor call in May, 1.5 months from now. Thank you very much.